Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley alongside Connor Newt and Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. Talking some Predators and reacting to Barry Trotz and his press conference yesterday. And to help us do that, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Gentry Estes from the Tennessean. Gentry, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well. Hope you are as well.
We're doing great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Gentry, you were there for the press conference yesterday, and you come out with a really interesting piece on this morning at the Tennessean, talking about some of the things that Barry Trotz said yesterday. So let's just start there. You know, I walked away from both his press conference yesterday and his interview with Stillman and thought to myself, well, Barry Trotz is going to try to get this team back to being a competitive team next year, and he believes that part of last year was a little bit of a fluke, and we'll see what sort of moves they make this offseason to add to the roster that they've got. But what did you make of, I guess, kind of the way that he handled that yesterday and his expectation for this team to get back to being in the mix for the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it is, I think he's kind of trapped what else would you kind of expect him to say, only because I think that some of these contracts and the deals they made, I mean, if he comes out and he's like, we don't care about winning right now, I mean, how's that going to go over with a bunch of 30-somethings who, so I think part of that is just the idea of do you want to win now? Well, of course I want to win now. The issue I would have is I can't get there from the standpoint of, why would you expect anything to be any different? Just given the fact that they haven't really changed anything from last year's team. They didn't change the coach. You know, there really hasn't been some big overhaul. Again, I don't know if you even could with some of the contractual situations. And, so why be confident? Why think it's going to be better? I mean, Trotz said yesterday, he said it during the press conference, and he said it again to Jared, you know, you can't tell me, you look at the players we have, and he named off 8 players and said that this team wouldn't be fairly competitive. Well, it wasn't fairly competitive. You can absolutely say that because we all saw it last season. And that's the thought that I think a lot of the fans have. It's like, how in the world was this team not any better? So it's hard to look at the scenario and feel confident that they're about to just get a lot better when all these guys are a year older and they really haven't changed a whole lot.
Yeah, it's a great point. And I still look at their biggest problem, in my opinion, right now. And there's a list that you can go through of things that have got to get better. But I look at their roster, and yes, not only the age of it, but I look at their center ice position specifically. And if that doesn't get significantly better, like if there's not some move coming this offseason that we just don't see right now, or I guess if like the number 5 pick, whoever it is, just ends up being way more ready, way quicker than I think they will be, and they're ready to contribute next year, which I find to be extremely unlikely. Like, unless one of those things happen, it's hard to imagine them getting a whole lot better, Gentry, because I think that's what drives all of it in my mind, is you got to have really good players at center, and I just don't think they've got that right now on their roster.
So you don't think Eric Halla is that answer?
I don't think that Eric Halla is going to come in and change the math on that too much.
No, I remember asking Trotz earlier this offseason, you know, why be so confident that things are going to improve in the next year? And he cited a chip on his shoulder, that guys were upset. And it's like, well, were they not trying last year? Were they not upset last year? Because things were pretty bad pretty early, so they had plenty of time to kind of get mad. And so I just don't think we've ever really zeroed in on exactly what happened to cause that last season. How a team that going into that season was expected to not just make the playoffs, but contend once they got in there and make a real run. How that team ended up being one of the worst in franchise history. I don't think there's been a real explanation for how that happened. And if the Preds don't really get a good sense for how that happened and fix it, why would anyone expect significant improvement this year? That's what I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they come out and they're a totally different team next year, but I just don't see how you can look at it right now and expect that.
Gentry, wanted to ask you about a change that actually did happen yesterday. The Predators are hiring former Blackhawks head coach Luke Richardson to replace Todd Richards, who we found out won't return. What do you make of that move, and how do you think that affects things for the Predators going forward?
You know, Jared had what I thought was an interesting take on that, basically asking if this was a move aimed at some sort of interim situation, if they were to move on from Brunette early next season. And that didn't occur to me that way when I first heard about it, but it's actually an interesting question, an interesting point given the new guy's experience. But, as I said, there really hasn't been a lot of change this offseason. Yep. So I think at this point with what happened last year, change is probably pretty good. I'll give you an example. Last night, MTSU had a fan event at Bridgestone after Trotz's press conference that I went to, and I was talking to Derek Mason, who has 62 new football players on his MTSU team this year. I asked, I was like, is that good or bad? And he's basically said, we went 3-9 last year. That's good. So with the Preds, I'd say I'm not averse to change at this point.
So there were also, Gentry, some updates on Roman Josi and Jonathan Marchessault yesterday. Now, the Marchessault one was interesting because he basically was like, yeah, I just got off the phone with Marchessault's agent and was just checking in with him. And I guess, the rumors that have been out there, he kind of tried to put to bed yesterday. The POTS diagnosis from Josi, obviously some major news last week. Things seem to be trending well on that front of it. But I guess as you look at that part of it with Josi, what's your concern level there, and what's your concern level with kind of where they're at on the defensive side of things right now?
Yeah, that was I asked about Josi yesterday, and because that one is concerning. And I know that you would love to think that everything they're saying is how this is going to go, that it's not going to be an issue, and Roman's able to get back to what we're used to seeing. And that's everything that we've heard from the team is that way, and you hope that certainly is the case. But I mean, it is concerning. The guy's 35 years old. He's had other issues health wise, and he's obviously a very important player of this team. Captain has been one of the best defensemen in the league for a long time. So I don't see how that isn't concerning. As far as the other side, it was interesting with Marchessault that he talked about he was on the phone with the agent before he came in there. It's almost like he was just double checking before he came to talk to us. Is there anything I should know about here? So I mean, Trotz is pretty much said though that they're expecting Marchessault to be part of the team. And I'm not one that really viewed him as the malcontent. Same. As much as, look, that team was terrible. There should be guys talking about that and wanting things to get better. To me, the idea of a malcontent doesn't necessarily apply when the team's doing so poorly. That's more like, I'm mad because I'm not playing. He wasn't mad because he wasn't playing. He was mad because it just wasn't working. You know what? He wasn't alone on that.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. Gentry, last thing for you here when it relates to the draft coming up on Friday. Philosophically, Barry Trotz talked about this yesterday. I thought his answer was really interesting. They've been looking for a number one center for this franchise from the moment they got here, and they've just never really been able to find one. Johansson had a stretch where he played pretty well, but they've never had like the bona fide number one guy. So because of that, like, I look at it, and on the draft Friday, like, it would be very difficult for me to not draft a centerman. Like, I just think you got to take your shot and see if you can find one of those guys. Alex Doherty asked him about Porter Martone yesterday, who's a winger, who I think is going to be a really, really good player. And Barry Trotz talked about basically, like, if you feel like your evaluation of the winger is just way better than whoever you're comparing him to with the center, well, then you just take the winger at that point. But I guess my question is, if you're in charge of this team, Gentry, how much better would that player have to be than whoever center you're comparing him to for you to take that player? Is it just as simple as take the best player available, or does there need to be a huge gap in your evaluation between the winger and the centerman based on their need there?
Yeah, this is pretty similar to what we just dealt with the Titans taking a quarterback. Because there were a lot of those same discussions, like, well, is it worth Travis Hunter over, your need? I think this is very different, though, in terms of the fact that whoever the Preds draft here, there's an awfully good chance we're not going to see that guy in Nashville for quite a while.
Yep.
And so it's tough. I understand the idea of the centerman. That's something you hear a lot with the Preds, and it's probably, I would imagine, what they're probably going to go for with that pick. But at the same time, it's hard to draft for needs when you can't replace that need right away. It's a very big difference in NFL and NHL in terms of the draft strategy. So never made a lot of sense to me to say, well, we need this right now, when you're not going to get that right now. But, you know, there are scenarios that guys can come up earlier. You know, you're factoring in the age and say, we need this and that. I think they are probably going to go for the best player, and that best player is probably going to be a centerman. Maybe it's more tone, like I said. As Trott said, I think you kind of know who the first two picks are going to be, but after that, you don't really know how it's going to fall. So there'll be some reacting in what they do. But yeah, big picture, though, Robbie, it's hard to look at this and say, okay, they finally got to pick this high. They probably do need to go get that centerman. I mean, that's, you know.
I think some of the fan base will freak out if they don't.
If you didn't do it and one of these guys hit, then yeah, that would be pretty rough.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Gentry, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, and we will talk to you soon.
Yeah, you bet. Take care.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessean with us here on the program. We'll react to what Gentry had to say there. I got some more of your thoughts to get to on the Predators and what Barry Trotz said yesterday. Keep those coming. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. This week's Nashville's best deal, Red's Hot Chicken. Red's Hot Chicken on West End, bringing the heat. Don't miss their hot chicken and waffles or the mac and cheese crunch wrap. Grab a $30 gift card for only $15 while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Get out of the summer heat for craft brews, food game, and entertainment at the 2025 Nashville Predators Craft Beer Festival coming up this Saturday at Bridgestone Arena. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/events. They got their beer fest coming up. That's day two of the NHL draft, so lots of things going on Saturday at Bridgestone Arena. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Connor Newt, Ian Safar here with you. On this Wednesday morning, we are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Appreciate Gentry Estes from the Tennessean for being with us in the last segment there. As we've discussed, you know, Barry Trotz throwing it out there yesterday that he feels like this team can rebound and bounce back, and he talked about it yesterday, saying, you know, you can't tell me we don't have good players in O'Reilly and Forsberg and Yossi and Stamkos and Marchessault and all these different guys. And I get that. I mean, look, part of the reason last year was so painful to go through, if you're a Predators fan, is because there was no logical explanation for it, right? Like, I mean, you looked at goalie and you said, well, they just gave Juuse Saros this big contract. He has played pretty well in goal for this team before. We've seen him do it. We've seen Steven Stamkos his entire career being, you know, an elite player. And even if he's getting a little older, maybe the offense, he's still putting up 30 goals a year. Marchessault, same thing. He's, you know, just scored 40 the year before. Maybe he doesn't do that again, but he's still putting up 30 goals. Philip Forsberg put up almost 100 points the year before that. Roman Josi has been a Norris Trophy caliber defenseman. There wasn't really a way to see the failure of last year coming. So I've said it. I think that, Connor, there's going to be some natural improvement next year where it's going to be hard for them to be as bad as they just were. I fully believe that. But I also look at it and say they finished with 68 points last year, which means if you want to get back to being in the playoffs – you got to finish somewhere around 95, 96, 97 points on most year. So you're talking about at that point, like a, you know, a 27, 28, 29 point improvement on last year. That's a really hard thing to do year to year. Like, to improve your point total by 30 points from year to year just to get into the playoffs is a really difficult thing to do. It's not impossible, but it's hard. So I understand if you're a Predators fan out there and you hear Barry Trotz say that and you say, does he have proper perspective on just how far away this team is from being a true competitor? I don't know the answer to that. I don't know what moves are coming here in the next 2 weeks, because maybe a few are that totally change your opinion on this. But I heard him say that yesterday, and some of the reaction we've gotten this morning, certainly on the text line, and some of the reaction I saw in the immediate aftermath of it was, I mean, this team's not close to being competitive, and to act like they are, I don't know if you're doing yourself all the best service if you're Barry Trotz. And I understand that point of view from Predators fans.
Especially with the lack of change that this roster and the staff has undergone. Like Gentry just mentioned, they kept the coach. They didn't move many pieces from last year. I mean, you kind of can't with some of the contracts you're locked into with Marchessault and Stamkos. But still, you haven't changed much. That saying, a 30-point swing to get back into the playoffs is a damn near incredible.
It's a huge swing.
It's a huge swing. But that's the thing. Are you complacent with this team just getting into the playoffs this year?
I'm not. Now, some people would look at that and say, well, that's a heck of an improvement from year to year, and I understand that. But I go back to like a year ago, Connor, when they signed all these guys.
Right.
If you would have said let's think about July 2nd of last year, and the excitement around here was off the charts, and they had just signed Stamkos and Marchessault and Shea, and you know, they got UC Saros to a contract extension, and it was like, all right, well, they're ready to compete and take a run at this thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you would have said at that point that they would have gone through a season like they just did, and then they followed it up in year two by just barely scraping into the playoffs and getting beat in the first round, the reaction to that from everyone would have been incredible disappointment. So, like, I can't just ignore that in this conversation and then act like I would be okay next year with them just squeaking into the playoffs and then getting beat in five games in the first round.
Yeah.
That's where I stand.
No, I'm the same way. I want more than that, personally. As a Predators fan, I want more than that. And with the current state of the roster, I don't know if I can see more than that. If they get into the playoffs, I see them getting, you know, beaten five or six by Colorado or someone like that. That's just how I see things. It would have to take major strides from your young players, like a Joakim Kimmel, Fedor Svechkov, guys like that. And maybe a big trade that Barry Trotz, we've kind of talked about. Maybe he has something under his sleeve. I think maybe he would like to bring in a young goal scorer. Whether or not he does that or not is kind of hinged on the fact on, does this team take the next step? Do they improve to a potential playoff team? Not that they need to make a full 35-point swing and be a top three seed in the Western Conference to do that, but this team needs to get back into the playoffs. This team needs to be competitive and be a winning team again, because that's what makes this team in this city so great. Winning culture in a franchise. No franchise in this city has had that for the past 3 to 4 years, and it's been kind of sad to watch.
Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Steve to the program. Steve, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning. Thank you. You know, one of the main things, after watching the majority of the playoffs this past season, one of the couple things that stood out to me, the difference between those teams and the Predators, one was team speed. I just don't feel like the Predators had enough speed. And the other thing was, it seems like the Predators don't keep possession of the puck very long when they come down in the other team's zone. It seems like they either just get one shot or they turn the puck over, or other teams just have their puck possession time is just, you know, just really high. And the Predators just seem like they just give up the puck. And it seems like they're on defense the majority of the game.
Yep.
And that just seems like the 16 teams I watched in the playoffs, that was, to me, that's what stood out.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. Thank you, Steve, for the call. I mean, certainly last year, look, you go watch that cup final of Florida and Edmonton, and you watch the Predators last year, and at times it doesn't look like they're playing the same sport, right? Like it's a high level of hockey that we saw Edmonton and Florida play. And frankly, like the idea of the Predators being able to compete with that next year just seems so far off right now. Like it seems like they're so far away from that part of it.
From so many fields too.
Yeah, like exactly.
The goaltending, the scoring. I heard Willie had a take a couple days ago that if the Oilers had UC Saros, they'd have won three cups, which is just
probably a little strong.
Unbelievable, but he's a company guy. I understand it.
Probably a little strong.
He amended.
He did admit. He did.
Yeah.
The three was maybe a little aggressive on Willie's part, but you know, to the defensive part of it, like that probably gets underplayed for how bad they were on defense last year, and that leads to exactly what Steve's talking about. Like if you can't defend well, and defending well, yeah, it's just playing defense in your own zone, but part of defending well is being able to get the puck out and transition the other way, and I didn't think they did that very well last year either. So if you can fix some of that, like that alone can make a big difference in your game next year, and then maybe you do get the puck in the offensive zone a little bit more, and they're able to set things up, and you're able to see a little bit more of what Stamkos and Marchessault and those guys can do. But their 5-on-5 play last year was so bad, and they weren't able to defend, and they just didn't really do anything well all that much 5-on-5 last year. How much can that realistically change from one year to the next when you have the same coach, and at the moment when you have largely the same roster? And again, I'm leaving some room here to see what happens over the next couple of weeks and if there are significant changes to that roster. But right now, based on the picture we know, how much can that realistically change from one year to the next? And that, I think, is the burning question that a lot of Predators fans have. We'll get more into that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Barry Trotz with some points on the draft yesterday and things that he's looking for that I found to be very interesting. We'll get into all that coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Do you have to take a center, given – I know you were asked that, and we were asked about Martone.
My preference would be. My preference would be. I think they're harder to come by. My preference would be, for sure. But yeah, at the same time, as I said, you know, a guy like Porter Martone, he's a pretty good player, and you don't want to make the mistake of losing a good player. We're going to spend the next couple of days just deliberating on that. Jeff Kelty and his staff have done a really good job. We've done the combine. We've done all the meetings, you know, even with the players. I feel that there's not much between, like I said, there's 3 and 8 probably. There's not a whole lot. It could be any mix, and depending on what team you're asking. So I prefer that, but it's not a necessary thing.
As Barry Trotz yesterday discussing his look at the draft with Jared Stillman, says his preference would be a centerman, and we'll see how that ends up playing out in actuality by the time pick number 5 comes around on Friday. That part of it is going to be really interesting here. You know, there's, depending on which mock draft you look at, and by the way, Scott Wheeler, who does a great job for The Athletic doing mock drafts and kind of covering these prospects, is going to be on with DVD later today around 11:20, so looking forward to that. But depending on where you look, I mean, there are a lot of mock drafts that have the Predators taking James Hagans, which we've talked about today on the show. There are some that have them taking Porter Martone, who is a winger. He's not a centerman. Who, by the way, we had somebody point this out earlier, he might be the most NHL-ready of the forwards to come in and contribute. And I think I might agree with that. Like, he might be able to step in and play relatively quickly. Maybe not as soon as next year, but maybe. Who knows? He's got good size to him, and he's a good player. So, like, if they took Porter Martone, I mean, I wouldn't sit here and, like, panic or anything. Like, he's going to be a good player. But it comes down to philosophy on this, Connor, of you've never really been able to find that number one centerman. You've got a chance potentially to do that with some players that I think will be available at number 5. So how much does that factor into your decision if you're Barry Trotz? And I thought it was interesting yesterday that he outright said it, that would be his preference, is to walk away with a centerman in this year's draft.
I mean, it should affect things pretty tremendously, right? If you're going in thinking, yeah, I want to walk away with a top center, chances are you're probably setting your mind to do so. And I think that he should. Like we've been hammering home this whole show, you need a center in this league to succeed. You need a good center in this league to succeed. The Predators have not had that for a very long time. We talk about Steven Stamkos. He plays center, but that's not really even his best position. So what I think they need to do is I think they need to draft a James Hagans if he is there. He needs, I mean, they need a center in the pipeline in their back pocket that they can look forward to and develop down in Milwaukee and even further on in the pros, that they can make a franchise driving center, that they can make this guy that can, you know, carry the franchise forward, win them games, and, you know, maybe even a Stanley Cup one day. The roster right now is just not at that place where they have that kind of guy. They don't have, I mean, you have franchise players and, you know, Roman Josi and Philip Forsberg and guys like that, but you don't have a true standout guy that is going to be a complete difference maker for your roster.
Yeah, I agree. And look, maybe James Hagans is that guy. Maybe he's not.
Right.
You know, maybe Anton Frondell is that guy. Maybe he's not. Now, there are different types of centermen that are that I think will be available to them at number five. Some of those guys are probably going to work out. There will be a couple of guys that get drafted in the top five this weekend that probably don't. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just statistically, that's the way it goes in the NHL draft. So what's your evaluation say about these players? Can you be one of the teams that hits when you get this pick? Because if you do, I've said it before, if you walk away with the number five pick and 5-10 years down the road, he ends up being an elite player for you, well, we're going to look back at this past season and say, yeah, that sucked at the time, but man, was that a good thing? Was that a blessing in disguise? If James Hagans or Roger McQueen or whoever it is that they take at number five here ends up being an absolute stud. Like, it could be a franchise changer for the Predators if it works out that way. And that's why I would be so inclined, if I'm the Predators, to really lean centerman here. Like, I guess it would come down to this if it was me and I'm Barry Trotz making the decision. If I looked at Porter Martone versus a James Hagans, or Porter Martone versus an Anton Frondell or Roger McQueen or whoever. And in my true evaluation of it just was that Porter Martone was just so much better than those guys. Well, then I would take Porter Martone. But frankly, like, if it's anywhere close, to me, I would take the shot on the centerman because I think it's the most difficult thing to find, as evidenced by the fact that they've not found it throughout the history of their franchise. And if you hit on it, it can just change so much. Not that a really good winger can't change things, because we've seen it. Nikita Kucherov is a winger, and he changes things. He's a great player. Patrick Kane, in his heyday, was a winger, not a centerman. He's a great player, and he was the driver of those great Blackhawks teams. So you can find it through wingers that way. But by and large, if you're going to change your franchise and you're going to be one of those teams that's competing for a cup year in and year out, you have to have an elite player at centerman. So that's why that's the way I would go.
Right. It's like the NFL. It's like trying to find a quarterback. They're hard to find, but when you find one, you have your franchise completely set for the next however long of the duration of their career. Not that hockey and football are the same thing. I mean, but what I'm trying to say is a center is a driving force of your offense. You have the opportunity to, you know, drive and score a goal, or you can pass it off for an assist. It's the center is the center for a reason, and I think that, speaking to the difficulty of finding one in the draft, I would take the shot at a center because, like you said, they're so hard to find, and if you do find one, you're set. You've got a good squad or a good future for your squad moving forward.
Skyler on the text line says, give me a young goal scorer. I don't care if it's a center or not. I understand they need that badly, but if Martone is flat out better, then get him. Also, how do you feel about Roger McQueen and his injuries? I like the size, and he's a right-handed center. McQueen, the size is great. I think he's 6'5". So you're talking about a 6'5 kid that, from a size perspective, is probably ready to play in the NHL right now. Now, I don't think overall he's ready to play in the NHL right now. I think there's some development there that still needs to take place. But I love the size. The back injuries would concern me. And, you know, Trotz brought that up. Yeah. Trotz brought that up with Stillman yesterday about how obviously the back injuries have been a concern, and that there have been a lot of conversation on that with McQueen throughout the draft process. Had he not had those back injuries, you're probably talking about him in the mix for top two or three pick. Mm-hmm. So that's what you got to weigh if you're Trotz. The talent level is there. How much do you weigh that versus how much do you weigh the concern with the injury? You know, the back stuff makes me nervous. I don't think it's like a degenerative back issue that, like, you know, Caleb Farley had and you were worried about that or anything like that. But it is something that's of high concern. So that would be my thought on the McQueen part of it, of just you've got to find a way. If that's the way you're going to go, you better be sure on the medical. And then when you're evaluating his game, how quickly do you think he can be ready to play in the NHL? Because I think that is pretty widespread across the board here in terms of, like, the different possibilities. Like, if they draft Hagans, I don't think Hagans is playing in the NHL next year.
Right.
If they draft Martone, maybe. Like, he might be ready to play in the NHL. And that doesn't – like, you don't base your decision off that, because sometimes it just takes guys a little bit longer before they're ready. But when they're ready and they're really good.
Right.
So, like, you can't base your entire decision off, like, who's ready to help you the quickest. If you're Barry Trotz, you've got to do, like, the true evaluation and who you think long-term is going to end up being the best player.
Sounds like the centers here at the top, I don't know, they say they're a little bit different stylistically.
Yeah.
Which I guess makes sense, you know, considering every player is a little bit different stylistically. So maybe, you know, if you're Trotz and the front office, and, you know, what is it stylistically you're ideally looking for? Are you just looking for something that, you know, fits the Brunette system ideally, or are you looking for a certain trait, you know, that you want right. with your center? That part kind of gets a little bit more specific.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard to know exactly, you know, the trait that they're trying to covet there
right.
as far as stylistically goes.
We got a lot more of your thoughts to get to on this. We will do that coming up next. The Predators with the draft coming up in a couple of days. Interesting comments from Barry Trotz. We will go rapid fire with some of your thoughts coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Am I wrong for thinking, Barry Trotz is with his Predators general manager, that some combination of that whomever I'm about to mention, one of these guys is going to be on the Predators? James Hagans, Caleb DeNoyer, Brady Martin, Jake O'Brien, Roger McQueen, Porter Martone. One of those guys, assuming that Misa and Schaefer go, one of those guys is going to be a Predator.
I would think so, yeah. I think that's a pretty good list.
That's Barry Trotz yesterday. And they later said in that conversation, like, Anton Frondell came up, and Jerry was like, well, I guess you don't like him.
Yeah, that kind of was odd. I decided to just cut that part out because it kind of got a little long-winded there, but yeah.
But Trotz is like, well, I'm not.
Well, you didn't mention him.
You didn't mention him.
He's a very good player.
So that part of it will be very interesting. I think David Reed may be right in that situation where Jared could have listed anybody on the earth, and Trotz would have been like, yeah, that sounds right. Like, it could be. We'll see.
I wonder if he just heard, like, the one name that has, like, kind of been at the top, and he, like, heard the name and was like, huh, okay. Well, he mentioned the one name. So maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
He just went with it. So I don't know.
Somebody asked me, it says, what would be the pick at number five that would just leave you completely mind blown if it was the Predators? I mean, I think the answer is if they draft any defenseman at all at number five, that would leave me mind blown. That's really it. Like, you know, would I pick Brady Martin at number five? Probably not, but I could at least understand it. Unless Matthew Schaefer falls to five, which is not going to happen. He's going to go number one. And if he doesn't go number one, he's going to go number two. But unless that happens, like, the only thing that could really blow my mind at number five would be, like, the Predators drafting a defenseman there in that spot, which they're not going to do, by the way. So that would be the answer.
Good. Don't do that.
Yeah, that would be the
that
answer.
That would be pretty bad.
By the way, joining us this Friday, got somebody asking about PK. I mentioned last week PK on a summer break, so hoping to have him back by the time camp rolls around. PK will be with me on Friday as we broadcast live at the Duncan Grand reopening in Hermitage, 5205 Old Hickory Boulevard, starting at 8 a.m. The first 100 people in line will win free coffee for 100 days, plus 102.5 The Game will have your chance to win tickets to an upcoming Nashville concert as well. So looking forward to that coming up on Friday. A lot of questions to get to here, so we'll roll through them pretty quickly. Mike in Lebanon says he's more concerned with the coaching situation next season than any player, which I think is fair. One texter says, you draft Martone. I get the center thing, but if Martone's the best scorer, you go get him. This team sucks. Their track record other than Forsberg of acquiring and drafting goal scorers sucks. You need elite talent, not a center for the sake of drafting a center. And I don't think Hagans is elite. I'd love to be wrong if they draft him, but I'm not so sure. I do feel good. The one thing I'll say about Martone, Connor, is I feel pretty good about Martone being an effective winger in the National Hockey League. Like, I think he's going to be pretty good. Now, the question is how good, because I think wingers affecting the game to the level that a center can is a really hard thing to do. Some can do it. Like, Matthew Tkachuk can probably do it. Patrick Kane definitely could. Nikita Kucherov definitely can. So you can find those guys. Is Porter Martone that? I don't know. It may be a little bit lofty. But I feel pretty good about Martone being a good player. So, again, if they walk away with him, it's not like I'm going to be just disgusted with it. I understand it. I would just go – I would lean center.
Yeah.
I'd take my shot on Hagans if he's there.
Yeah, that's. I would definitely take the shot on Hagans. Look, I get the sentiment that one texter is saying, that we're saying draft a center for the sake of having a center. How often do you find a center this high in the draft that you feel comfortable about taking and leading your franchise for?
It happens, but it's, you know, it's rare. Like,
right.
Not every draft year is McDavid, right? Like, you know, there are different levels to all this.
I'll tell you right now, there's no McDavid.
There's no McDavid in this draft. And there's not going to be McDavids in the draft for a long time. Like, the kid next year, Gavin McKenna, who, by the way, is a winger, he could be really good. Like, he might be an elite player. There's no might. He's going to be an elite player. Like, everybody knows who the number one pick in the draft is going to be next year, and he's one of those guys. So, I mean, some of this is just when do you time out when you're bad, right? Like, you know, Edmonton went through a stretch before they got McDavid where they had a lot of really high draft picks, be that Nugent Hopkins, who has been fine, or Dreisaitl, who obviously has been great, but they had Nail Yakupov in there, and he was a total bust. Like, they've had Taylor Hall was okay for Edmonton. He won a league MVP with New Jersey, and he's had a good career, but he's not like some elite player out there. McDavid, I mean, they struck gold, right? Yeah. Colorado struck gold with Nathan MacKinnon at number one. Obviously, Pittsburgh struck gold with Crosby. Those type of picks don't happen every year, but you can find some pretty darn good players, right? Like, you know, another texter said, it's easy to find a number one center. You just have to suck for a long period of time, and then you'll eventually find one. And the Predators haven't done that. So we'll see if this is finally their year where they find one. Ryan in Nashville says best first round would be Hagans at 5, Fiddler at 23, McQueen at 26. If Roger McQueen falls to 26, I would advise the Predators to take him.
Like Shador Sanders.
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think he will be there at 26. Connor, great stuff, brother. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Connor will be with us tomorrow. Jake Lyman back with us tomorrow as well. That's going to do it for us today here on the program. Chase and Big Joe up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.